12-Sided Stories is for mature audiences and often deals with topics that may be difficult for some listeners. Discretion is advised.
In the city of dreams, everyone wants to be a star, but at what cost? 12-Sided Stories presents Otherworld Hollywood.
And welcome to Otherworld Hollywood Episode 9. My name is Wes Otis. I am here with some wonderful players. Let us start with Candace.
Hello, everyone. I'm Candace the Magnificent. My pronouns are they, she, and I am playing Ebony Belafonte, pronouns she, her.
Hi, I'm Lev. My pronouns are they, them, and I'm playing Roberta Robbie Cerillos, pronouns they, she.
Hey, y'all. I am Mac, and I am going to be playing Cass Richardson, a.k.a. Lenore Von Mori.
Hey, I'm Michelle, and I am playing Belle Bellington.
Hello, 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 everyone. I'm Sam Starr, using she, they, and the occasional fae pronouns. And today I am playing Imani DeVoe, she, her.
Enjoying the show? Then take a moment to join our Patreon. Support the podcast and get early access to episodes and bonus content. Head to 12-Sided Stories Patreon today.
All right. So in the last episode, you all were at the studio starting to record and also rehearse at the same time as Robbie was desperately trying to get all of this stuff together. And Evie showed up and was really young this time, like unnaturally young looking. And not just her face, her entire glow was perfect. There were a lot of people who were just kind of shocked by this. Definitely Belle was taken aback. And throughout the day, you guys did a lot of recording, a lot of rewrites, a lot of different things like that. Tony Stinelli is the head of the Stinelli crime family, and he's also Belle's ex-husband, and he does not like Belle too much. And this was something that was very interesting to Lenore. So we kind of learned all of that. And Robbie had a pretty fucked up dream while they were at their apartment checking out. This was before everybody showed up for recording, but they had a pretty messed up dream where they were on this island with a huge iron spike in the center of it and all these people wailing as they're being impaled on it, and there was this strange man with hanging skin. It looked like a cloak from far away, and it started to move towards them, and they woke up in Penelope's arms, and Penelope said, hey, come and stay at my place, and she went with Penelope over to her place, to Penelope's place. And there was a big iron door and a bunch of books behind locks. And Robbie found out Penelope has a lot of money. And Penelope was like, look, you know, this isn't me, but I have to get going. I'm going to London to a funeral for my grandmother. Don't mind the butler. Everything's going to be cool. And take care of Easter, the cat. And I will be back. Belle decided that Imani was incredibly interesting and sent Johnny to look into her more. And so he went off to go investigate why everybody was at the studio. And then on her way home, Imani gets to the block and sees that her apartment has a bunch of police officers there, as well as an ambulance showing up. And that's where we ended last time. All right, let us jump right in with Imani. So you're about a block away and you see an ambulance loading a person up into it that's been covered completely, so a corpse. And you see all of these people down on the porch talking with police. You don't see Rose and you don't see Trish.
Okay, so is the sheet like completely covering the body?
Yes.
Or is, okay, like ankles and feet too?
Yep, it's completely covered.
Okay, damn. I'm gonna ask a ambulance, not the police, because we don't like them. I'm gonna ask the ambulance person what happened.
So you get close enough to talk with one of the ambulance people as they're, you know, shutting the back doors, and you notice your landlady, you know, on the porch talking with the police. And what do you say to him? How do you approach him?
I apologize for bothering you while you're working, but what is going on here?
Unfortunately, I'm sorry to you. Do you live here?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, one of your neighbors had a heart attack. He was an older gentleman.
Imani, like, visibly is like, whew, okay, all right. Not happy, obviously, but just like, close call. I'm so sorry to hear that. That's terrible.
Yeah, he was an older gentleman, and we think it's a heart attack, so... But yeah, he passed, and they called us out. The police usually show up for these things just to take statements, and
of course,
it's a normal thing. So it's nothing lured or anything like that.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your time, and please enjoy the rest of your night. I hope that it does not get any worse than this.
Thank you.
Make my way.
Make your way up.
Yeah, make my way back into the apartment. Thoughts and prayers for him and his family.
All right. So you make your way up and you get to your apartment and shut the door, and Rose comes out and says, "Oh, baby, you're home a little early today. I didn't know if you were going to be doing a late shoot or something."
Yeah, some things had to be done last minute at the office studio. I'm glad you're all right, though. I didn't know what was going on.
Oh, yeah, I heard the sirens earlier. I didn't want to get anywhere near it because, you know.
Smart. Keep doing that.
Yeah. So I got a job.
You got a job?
Yeah, at a handy one of those hardware stores.
Well, good luck. Congratulations.
So.
Gosh, that's great. I'm proud of you. You are starting a life for yourself elsewhere. That's amazing.
Well, not elsewhere. I'm still staying here with you.
Well, I mean, elsewhere like here.
Oh, okay. Suddenly the phone rings.
Yeah, I'm gonna go to the phone, grateful for the distraction, and grab it.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. This is Amber from Lenny's. I was wondering if Trish was there.
Not 100% sure. Hold on a moment, please. Trish?
No sound. And Rose goes, "Oh, she's not here. She left for work."
She left for work, unfortunately. She's not here right now. Would you like for me to take a message?
Well, she was supposed to be here about 20 minutes ago for her shift. And so if she's left for work, then there might be a problem.
Interesting. Well, I'm sure she probably just got caught up somewhere.
Well, if you could give me... I'm sorry, is this Imani?
Yeah, actually.
Oh, okay. We met at the across from the studio.
Right.
Yeah, if she comes in or calls or something, please have her give me a call. I'm just worried about her.
Absolutely. Of course, as soon as I find her, I'll tell her to get in contact with you as soon as possible.
Okay, thank you. I'll talk to you later.
Yeah. Talk to you later soon. All right. Bye-bye, hon. Hang up the phone. That was one of Rose's, Patricia's co-workers, says she hasn't been to work yet.
Well, that's odd. She left a while ago.
Right. She left a while ago. Doesn't take longer than 10 minutes to get to the restaurant.
Maybe she got held up.
Right. I'm looking over her. I'm looking at her hands and her shoes and her clothes.
Give me like a spot hidden.
You said spot hidden. Okay, I don't have anything in that. That's fun. That's so fun. I don't have anything in that. 25.
Okay, what?
Oh, the spot hidden is 25. So, right on the nose.
Wow, awesome. You do notice a dark, looks like stain on her jeans.
Mm, what's that spot there? I just washed those jeans yesterday.
Oh, god damn it. I don't know. Probably mud or something. I was at the store all day, and they have this area out back where they have, like, wood and stuff that they sell, and I'm sure I got, like, something from there. Maybe oil? I don't know. I'll get it fixed. I'm sorry, honey. I know you just did laundry.
No, No worries. Laundry just gets clean for you to wear it and have to clean it again, so...
Anyway, since we have the place to ourselves, do we want to do anything special?
I'm gonna shower really quick, and then maybe we can listen to the radio or something. I'm rather hungry.
That sounds good. All right, so we're gonna jump from there.
Yeah, I definitely gotta check that damn hardware store or whatever the hell it's at, because she's in a tar pit or a cement pond or somewhere.
Let's jump over to Lenore. Lenore, the day is done.
Thank God.
Yeah. You're over at the shack, and you've met up with Henri, and he says, so, okay, have you told her yet that we're getting married, and when are we announcing all of this?
Yes, I've told her, and I said soon. I've been keeping her on the hook.
So, since you're going to be going national, it's going to put you under even more stress, and she wouldn't have anything to say if we broke up. I'm just worried about your career.
She still has blackmail on you.
Against me? Yeah.
I'm not going to leave you out to hang.
I appreciate that. I just don't want us both to get chopped up, you know?
At least give it some time, and then we can make a decision, because I've also been told that, as I've mentioned to you, I'm a greater commodity, unlinked to anyone. But like I said, I can't live with it on my conscience if I let your career be destroyed.
Well, didn't you say that she was once married to some mob guy?
Yes.
Should we go try and talk to him? Maybe he has a lever that he can pull.
I suppose it's worth investigating.
Now, mob guys, where do they hang out?
I don't know. Do you know a lot of mob personnel?
Not really. No, I don't.
I can get a hold of him directly, I'm sure, but I don't think we need to go down to the docks or anything.
Yeah, I think that might be a good idea, though. Maybe we should give him a call from the house, or maybe not the house.
Why not the house?
I don't know. FBI. Who knows who's looking into him, you know?
I mean, we can always call him and set a meeting, and then it's... I don't know. This whole thing is just... It's getting utterly out of hand.
Let's give him a call and see what he says.
Okay.
All right. So you are able to contact him.
And what's his name again? I forget.
Tony Stinelli.
Tony Stinelli. Okay.
You talk with like a secretary or something, and he goes,
is this Lenore?
Yes, it is.
What can I do for you, kid?
I was hoping perhaps we could meet.
Sure. When? Where?
Whenever's convenient to you and wherever is convenient to you.
Let's meet at the studio. How private does this conversation need to be?
Let's just say we don't want certain people snooping around it.
I understand. How about, 30 minutes?
Okay.
I know my ex-wife. She's usually hanging upside down by this time of night.
That sounds about right.
All right. I'll meet you there.
Unless there's anything else you want to do, we're going to fast forward a little bit.
Sure. I'm guessing Henri is coming with me?
He definitely wants to.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, I think Henri would come because it concerns him too.
Yeah. So you get there, and the man that rarely speaks is there, kind of in the corner watching the three of you sit down at a little table on the stage floor. And he goes, so what's this all about?
I'm just going to be plain with you. Your ex-wife has some information that I would rather she not have.
Sounds about right.
Photos in specific.
Are you doing something wrong or he doing something wrong?
Nobody is doing anything wrong, but it's something that other people might not understand.
Okay. Well, my wife, when she gets a hold of a bone, it's very hard to get her to drop it. So what are you trading her with?
Our engagement and marriage, which, as we've discussed, is maybe not the best option for my career, but it is also the only thing that will get her off of our backs.
Well, a good-looking boyfriend is very different from a good-looking husband. So, yeah, you're right. Because there's still a possibility that these losers would somehow get a date with you. All right, well, I'll handle it. I'll be honest with you. Talking to her is literally the last thing I want to do.
I don't envy you, and I would not ask this were it not the last recourse.
No, I understand. I understand. All right, well, you two lovebirds get going, and I'll go have a conversation.
Thank you. Truly.
All right. So we are going to jump over to Evie. Evie, you make it home, and there's a man waiting for you in your driveway. He is dressed in a suit. When you come up to park, he opens your door and says, "Miss Belafonte, welcome home."
Thank you. This is quite irregular. Who do I have the pleasure of introducing myself to?
My name is William. I am going to be your personal assistant. I was hired by the New Day Cosmetic Company to make sure your needs are taken care of. I have dinner waiting for you, and the dog has been walked. The staff and I are making sure that the house is up to your standards.
There is a long pause, followed by,
"I'm sorry, did you say the staff?"
"Yes, ma'am. We have two maids and a footman."
Evie is struggling to keep her face neutral as she kind of extends her hand out of the vehicle so he can help her out. She straightens up to her full height before kind of gliding into the house. Before she steps inside, right at kind of door frame of the house, she just kind of takes a deep breath and prepares herself. The world has not been kind, so she's absolutely certain that none of this is real, right? She's like, "Obviously, I'm just on drugs." And she kind of takes a deep breath and opens the door. Are there, like, totally maids and stuff inside?
There are two maids there. They are kind of going from place to place. The place looks completely clean. The lights are on. The floors have been waxed. The dog looks like they actually did dog grooming. There is the smell of food wafting through the entire place. And he says, "I'm sorry, ma'am. We actually have a guest for dinner tonight. He's an agent. His name is Rick Valentine. He is in the dining room waiting for you. The New Day Cosmetic Company reached out to him about possibly representing you if you're interested, so that you can get the roles you deserve."
"Yes, well, of course, I would love to meet him. I am going to run off to get freshened up and change so that I can make the best impression. You understand?"
"Absolutely, ma'am. We'll wait for you. I'll let him know you'll be here shortly."
"Could you send a maid in about 20 minutes just to lace up my back?"
"Sure, of course."
And she just kind of dashes off to her bedroom. And once the door is closed, she like goes deeper into the room, to the bathroom, and steps inside of the bathtub and like closes the little door. And she has Buttercup in her arms and she just screams super loud and full of joy and excitement and like just stamps her feet and just gets like really nuts and then looks down and is like,
"Buttercup, darling, everything is changing for us.
Yes,
Mommy is so happy, Buttercup. Oh, I will get you all of the fanciest treats. We will be dining at the nicest establishments, Buttercup. I hope you're ready for all your fans to come flocking back. We've got it."
And then she like composes herself.
Buttercup is very excited too.
Yeah, she then opens the door to the shower and everything and comes back out, takes in a deep breath, goes and pulls out her outfit, and then begins her ritual of getting ready and putting on nice lingerie. And like she looks at the lingerie for a second and is torn but attractive to men and one that's attractive to her and realizes gone are the days she has to think about the casting couch. She can wear what she wants now.
Absolutely. Just so you know, when you open up your closet, all of your dresses have been replaced with newer dresses.
Stop.
They're all brand new. All the latest fashions.
She just like stands in the closet in the dresses for a minute and just like puts everything in and just like touches all the silk and the charmeuse, just like soaks it up, starts opening just random boxes of shoes and puts together just the most slamming outfit. This kind of drapey, kind of peacock blue dress that has little pearl buttons and blousy kind of bell sleeves and a very deep V plunge in the front. And she could just adorns herself with her jewelry. And when the maid comes in, she has her kind of help her put her hair up, take it off of her neck. And I think she pops on some like little marabou slippers because she's in her home. She can do what she wants.
You look wonderful, and you make your way down to the dining room, which they have cleaned and redone all of the different things. Gone are the tattered window dressings and everything. And Rick is sitting there, and he stands up when he comes in. And he says, "Oh, it's very nice to meet you. My name is Rick Valentine. I work as a agent, and I heard you were maybe in the market for a new agent. I wanted to have a conversation with you about your future."
"Please, Rick, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Have a seat. Make yourself comfortable, please. I'm so happy to see you and to hear of your interest."
"So, tell me, are you happy at Cuddam right now?"
"I'm not one to look a gift horse in the mouth, and Cuddam was there for me when I was down on my luck, so to speak."
"Yeah, I understand that, but I don't think you're down on your luck anymore." As they're putting this really expensive lobster in front of you to eat, that's been like, has the little butter on the side and all this other really nice stuff. "So like, you're coming into a renewal, a second prime, and I feel like maybe a reintroduction to the world is due."
"Yes, I do think that that would be lovely. I don't want to upset or offend anyone at Cuddam by dropping out early of this picture, especially after they rewrote things just to accommodate me and my new look."
"Well, we can buy you out of your contract if we need to with them. And, I mean, we don't want to sully your brand with a film that might not be up to the par of, say, Warner Brothers or Paramount, where I think you should be."
"Sully? You think making good on my promises to Cuddam will sully my reputation? I would think it'd be quite the opposite."
"Well, we might be able to spin it that way. Legend does film for the little guy."
"Well, you know, all boats rise, and it would really just kind of be a boon to the studio to have such press, I think. Especially, there's some new blood working on it, and some rather established blood, too. Lenore Von Mori, I don't know if you know, but she's in the picture, so..."
"She's wonderful."
"Exactly. So, you know, maybe just this one project, and then, you know, take me where I deserve to be in the spotlight, darling."
"I think we can do that." And you continue the evening with small talk and with talking about the studio and everything else. I should explain what Mr. Valentine looks like. He's a taller man with olive skin, brown wavy hair. It's a little bit longer than normal, that the normal, like the average man in the 1950s would have, but it's still short enough that it looks very professional. You're guessing he's Italian, and he is very well educated. You can tell just from the way that he's speaking with you. He's very respectful, and there's always the footman and one of the maids standing off to the side waiting to like refill cups and do all this stuff. And the night ends. Once he leaves, the maids and everybody say goodnight, and they'll return the next day. And William, who was the one that opened the door for you, says to you, "I have a place just a few blocks from here. I will return early in the morning to help you get ready for the day. If you need anything, here's my phone number. You can call me, and I'll be here really quickly."
"Oh, I appreciate it so much. I'll do everything I can to not disturb you in the night, unless it's an emergency, of course."
"I am at your beck and call, ma'am. Have a good night."
"You too, William. Thank you."
The door shuts, and you're finally alone in your house.
She just, like, another scream, I think, as she kicks her shoes off and just kind of glides and spins across this beautifully waxed floor, faints on her chaise and calls to Buttercup.
And you land on your chaise.
Mm-hmm.
And we will end the scene with that. All right. So let's jump over to Robbie. Actually, no, I want to leave Robbie. I want to leave Robbie till the end. Let's jump over to Michelle for no evil reason at all.
Oh, none whatsoever.
None whatsoever. Belle has done her normal thing. She ate her dinner, had her little glass of wine, was watching television, and falls asleep probably around 9:30, maybe 10. And you hear something in your kitchen that wakes you up.
And I throw on a robe and I go out to investigate.
Standing in your kitchen is your ex-husband, and he's making himself a cup of coffee.
What the hell, Tony? Scared the life out of me.
How do you scare something with no heart?
Really? Really? That's how we're going to open the conversation?
I pay a lot of money to be mean to you.
You pay a lot of money because you broke the heart. Whatever heart I had, it's gone because of you.
Oh, yeah. It was all my fault. Please. Are you still training Dracula?
What?
Anyway, we got to talk about Lenore and her boyfriend. What kind of pictures do you have?
Do you think I'm really going to tell you that?
Yeah, you are, because you like your money and you know that if you push me far enough, I can make you disappear.
We're resorting to threats now. Fine. Her boyfriend seems to have a boyfriend.
I mean, they're artists, right? I mean, that's normal.
Of course. I know that's half of Hollywood.
So?
That's not the point. The average reader doesn't.
So you're going to mess them up just because he's into guys? Doesn't make sense to me.
I don't want to mess them up. I want a good story. I want to make my editor happy. I want to be back at Variety.
Wow, you really fucked that one up, didn't you? You shouldn't burn bridges like you did, or at least strap explosives to the bridge and then cover it in oil and set it afire, you know?
Like you've never made any mistakes, Mr. Perfect.
No, I've made tons of mistakes. Look around. This is all one big fucking mistake, but you're still cute. So I keep you around.
Mm-hmm.
So you need some blood to keep yourself at that rag of a paper, is what you're saying.
Yeah, that's it in a nutshell. It's simple. Give me something good and I'll back off.
I'll give you $2,000 to sniff someplace else. That's more than you make, and you know it. Cash, no taxes.
It's more than just money, Tony. I need a story. You gotta have dirt on somebody.
I got dirt on a lot of people, but that's my collateral.
I'm just saying small dirt for you would be big dirt for me. You know what I mean?
All right, let me see what I can do for you, but you leave the kid out of it, all right? She's about to do something.
Fine, I'll back off.
All right.
I'll back off. You know I am, if nothing else, a woman of my word. I am, Tony. You can't say that I've gone back on any deal with anybody.
I'm getting caught up with the word woman. Viper.
Oh, I'm getting caught up with a word here. Fuck you.
Fuck you, too. All right. Well, this was pleasant. Anyway, as always, I'll get in touch with you soon. Love you, babe. And he starts walking out the door.
Hope you choke on that coffee.
Door shuts.
Oh, I wish I had some popcorn.
That was so... I was sitting over here and I'm like looking through. I was like, oh, this person...
All right. Hey, Robbie. You come home to this large, empty Brentwood home. Adam lets you in, says dinner's on the table, and says goodnight to you. And you feed Easter, and you sit down at the table, and you're surrounded by all this opulence. And from the dining room, you can look straight down and see this large medieval door at the end of the hallway. The door you were told not to go towards.
Robbie picks up the cup of like tea that they've been drinking and starts to just kind of wander through the house in a way that's from the outside supposed to seem aimless. It seems intentionally aimless, but is slowly getting closer to the door. Just kind of like passing a room and looking in and then glancing at the door to see how close they are. And then, you know, wandering toward another door and looking in, knowing that they're not supposed to do it, but also knowing that they're curious and they want to know things. So I think eventually, like after kind of like reaching down and petting Easter and like straightening a picture that was already straight on the wall, they finally make it up to the door and just kind of not touching yet, still holding their tea, just start examining and like looking at like the door jamb and like the handle and just kind of taking stock of like how old it seems or like potential country of origin for any of it. Just kind of casually, not casually looking at it.
Right. as you're looking at the door, it definitely looks like it's from probably the 1400s. It's pretty old. And it looks like a castle door. If you were to imagine an English castle door from that time period. And as you're looking at the pull on it and everything like this, Easter lets out this yowl.
Oh, did I step on your tail? Did I step on your tail? I'm so sorry. Oh, you were over there. Are you okay? I've never actually had a cat.
The cat walks between you and the door and lets out another yowl, looking straight into your eyes.
Okay, I'm not touching it. I'm just looking at it. She didn't say I couldn't look at it.
He cocks his head to the left a little bit.
Robbie does the same.
And just stares at you, as if trying to psychically tell you something.
I'll set my tea down on like a side table or something and go to like scoop him up and bring him really close to my face.
He licks your nose.
Oh, that was very sweet. I don't speak cat, obviously, and you don't speak human. I'm just gonna like put my forehead to his forehead, be like, I'm really trying to communicate with you here. I don't really know what you're trying to tell me, but I'm...
All you hear in your mind suddenly is, don't.
Ah! I think I like put the cat down. Okay, interesting. Can you do that again? I'll pick him up. I'll like pick him up from where I put him down and put my forehead to his forehead.
All you hear is, don't.
Okay, is that the only word you know? It's fine if that's the only word you know.
It's not.
Ah! Robbie just like holds him up and like holds him at different angles and like looks at him. Do I have to be touching your forehead for this to happen? And I'll hold him away from me.
You don't hear anything.
Bonk.
Yes, this is the only way.
Easter, this is incredible. I think I shouldn't be believing this as easily as I am, but I'm experiencing it, so it is true. Bonk.
Yes.
Why shouldn't I touch the door? What is wrong with the door? Why not? Bonk.
It's private.
Why though? Why is it? What's, I mean, how? Okay. I want to know. I want to know though.
Not everything's for you to know.
I
licks your nose again.
You're so cute and I hate that answer. Easter, why can you talk to me like this?
It's complicated. When you're asleep, I can talk to you better. But when you're awake and we're touching, your brain is primitive. So I'm able to speak to you because of that.
Wait, you're more evolutionarily advanced than me? You're more evolutionarily advanced than me?
Of course, cats have always been more evolutionarily advanced than humans.
That's actually unsurprising. That makes a lot of sense.
Look, this is not a place you should be going into right now. If Penelope says okay, that's one thing, but you need to wait for her to feel comfortable enough to tell you what's behind that door. You want to be friends with her, don't you? You're a good person.
I want to be friends, I guess. No, that's not... I guess was not true. I want to be friends with her. I do want to be friends with her. I guess was because I didn't want you to be right. What about the books? Why can't I look at the books? The books are vessels of knowledge for the intended purpose of sharing knowledge, so why can't I share in the knowledge? It's a book.
Some knowledge is dangerous and should be left behind. Eugenia knew what she was doing. They're in good hands, just leave them alone.
Easter.
I know, it's frustrating, but...
I can't believe I'm taking orders from a cat.
You always have. You all just don't know it yet.
Wait, are cats aliens? Did cats come from outer space?
Maybe. Anyway, you should listen to me now and just eat your food and go to bed. And maybe I'll be able to see you in your dreams at some point. And we can have a better conversation.
Okay, Easter. All right, that's fine, I guess. And I'll kiss him on the nose and I'll put him down.
He meows and kind of walks with you.
I don't walk away from the door immediately.
Okay.
I sit and look at, or stand and look at it for a long time.
At some point, Easter's going to meow at you again.
Okay. I'm just trying to understand at least where it's from. It's old. This is incredibly old. The fact that this isn't in a museum is fascinating, although I don't know why it would be in a museum because it's just a door. It's just a door, Easter. Doors, I guess doors have two sides, so I don't know what's on the other side of the door. Easter, I've seen a lot of weird shit lately. I know he can't talk to me. I'm standing above the cat. I'm just talking to the cat now that I know he understands me. And I think eventually Robbie just starts talking about all the weird shit they've seen in their life as they walk back through this house that is bigger than any. They're from a small, small, small town in West Texas. They've never like seen or been in a house like this until they moved to Los Angeles. They're very like, I think the same way that they were like inspecting the door, they kind of start inspecting other things in the house. Not as interested, but still curious. And then eventually we'll find a place to sleep.
Okay, sounds good. You know, you make your way to the bedroom that was made up for you and you fall asleep. And for a while, you have normal dreams for once. And then suddenly you wake up and you hear two voices speaking in the dining room.
Is Easter in here with me?
No.
Maybe Easter can talk. And I'll get out of bed. Robbie's taken off their brace at this point. So they're kind of having to like use the wall as a support.
Do you have like a home cane at all or something like that or no?
I don't. Well, yeah, I suppose Robbie does actually have a cane. Yeah, Robbie probably pulls out their cane and starts using it and also leaning on the wall so as not to make as much noise with the cane.
Okay. Well, why don't we make a stealth roll since you're trying not to make noise?
Oh, good. Yes. I didn't take stealth like I usually do in these kinds of games. Ooh, failure, 56.
Okay. So you come around the corner and standing at the end of the hall by the dining room is a woman dressed in long linens. They're practically see-through. She's got dark black skin and a cat head. And Easter is standing next to her. And that's where we're going to end this episode.
Wait, why? Wait, no. I have so many more questions.
Yep. And we'll get to them soon. Anyway, everyone's stunned, and I enjoy that. Thank you all so much. Thank you all so much for playing, and thank you all so much for listening. And I'm sure none of this stuff is going to come home to roost for any of you. Let's find out where all of these wonderful people are. Let's start with Sam.
Hello. Hi, my name is Sam Starr. I've been Amani. You can find me all over the internet at Lust for Life. LustForLifeX. Yes, it's a mouthful. No, I'm not changing it because it is what it is now. You can catch me Saturdays, Eastern Standard Time on Twitch, Transplanter RPGs, where I play Lumira, the only member of Strike Team Nova with any type of actual sense. We'll say that. And that's me. Follow me on the internet for other stuff. Yeah.
Hey, y'all. I have been and will continue to be Mac Beauvais. You can find me on the internet as at Strange Like That. I recently got Threads and Blue Sky because who knows who's going to win in the future wars of technology and Demolition Man timelines.
Hello, everyone. I'm Candace, also known as Candace the Magnificent. You can find me at That Candace Girl on the fiery dumpster that is Twitter, at Candace Marie over on Blue Sky, and at Candace the Magnificent everywhere that doesn't have a 15-character limit. You can also see me every other Saturday on What We Do in the Shallows over on Maddie Matihi's Twitch channel.
Hey, I'm Lev. I've been Robbie today. You can find me on Twitter at LegoM2, the number 2 RS, or Blue Sky and Instagram because I folded at lev.rs23. I play with Mayday because I'm one of them. I'll get better at this someday. We're playing Orpheus. We're playing Delta Green. We're playing a lot of shit. It's great. It's good stuff. Yeah. Thanks for having me, gang.
Hey, I'm Michelle, and you can find me on the socials. I'm not going to list which ones because there's some popping up, some going away, some, you know, so just any socials as Michulu, that's M-I-C-H-U-L-H-U. You can also find my music and Wes's amazing sound effects if you subscribe to the Plate Mail Games catalog through BattleBards.
And I am Wes Otis. You can find me as Plate Mail Games on all the socials. You can find our podcast as 12-Sided Stories, usually the number 12 and then Sided Stories on all the different socials as well. So follow us all over the place or come and visit us on Discord. If you go to our website, which is the only place that has 12-Sided Stories listedout.com. You can find our links there and become part of our Discord and talk with us. That's a great way to reach out. You can also, if you want to help out the show, definitely give us a shout out on whatever your favorite social media platform is. Give us a review on your favorite platform as well, or follow us on Patreon. Back us on, you know, come support us on Patreon. There's a ton of extra content. And now they've added all of these extra things like collections where you can listen to one show and then all of the different extra stuff that we've done for that show will pop up there, including the after shows that we do for Otherworld Hollywood. So definitely check out Patreon and join us. Thank you so much for listening. This show is a blast and I can't wait to see how it all goes down. It's going to be fun. So join us next time. And if you are on Patreon, make sure you listen to the after show. Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.